15 minutes left with Tommy Robinson. Amazing historical time happening. Repeat what you were saying in the break to me about the awakening that's happening, and let's start talking about your film and the clips we're going to play next segment.
Mate, I've said, I've been doing this 15 years. The public weren't ready. They haven't been ready to listen. They didn't want to listen. They're ready now. I'm telling you, they're ready. They're ready from one end of Britain to the other. I know right now as we're talking, Alex, riots are kicking off in Sunderland. There's 20 cities that demonstrations are coming out. I know it's not. I try and say to people, the anger from the British public is 100% justified. The men in these hotels have raped, committed murder, jihad across the country. The government are placing undocumented migrants they know nothing about into towns and cities. Parents feel they've got no safety for their kids anymore. It's gone. We feel lost as a nation. Yeah, people. So what we managed to do in two successful events with a lot of hard work was control and harness that anger. What you're seeing now over the last 3 days and what you're going to see in the coming weeks is unharnessed, raw emotion and anger, frustration, resentment, all of it. People are furious. They're raging. They're raging.
And the same thing's happening in Ireland. Same thing in Ireland.
They've took away their safety. They've took away the safety of your children. And people now know that. They've brought in people who are hostile and violent to our nation, who are never going to integrate or assimilate, ever. It's not going to work. You've mixed oil and water. And they knew it. They knew what they were doing when they were bringing them in. They know exactly what they're doing. And people are going to be that furious. And what the government, the police have said, every image of the police dealing with Black Lives Matter, dealing with Muslims, they're running away and they hide, yeah? And then they get what they want. So the message has been sent to the British, you need to get violent. That's what the message the government have said. If you're violent, we'll listen. If you're hostile, if you're really violent and aggressive, we'll listen. And unfortunately now, young English men are on the streets rioting. I'd give a message to those men. You're going to go to jail for a long time, okay? You're going to get locked up for a long time. They're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks.
No, donate to political parties, run for office, be politically motivated, don't be violent.
Don't be violent, but I understand their anger. I understand why they're feeling this way. They've been forced down this path. The government have forced them. The police have forced them to this position where they've told them.
They're not wrong. We just have to be more strategic.
We have to be more strategic and more organized. And that's what we've done in our last two demonstrations. We had, in that 100,000 people in London, we had some of the toughest men in Great Britain, okay, travel together from cities across this country to stand. If they wanted to riot and destroy that whole capital city, they could have done. And the police know that. But we harnessed that anger and we directed it into a peaceful festival of celebration, but where we give them a strong message. I said to the people, 15 years ago when I started my activism, I put on a balaclava. I was an angry young man, okay? But we had no voice. We now have a voice. We have millions listening to us every day. We're reaching the public across this country. Take off the balaclavas, take off the masks, okay? Take off the masks and let us deliver them a blow peacefully. Let us win the hearts and minds of the country, which we're in the process of doing. But at the minute, I think over the next few weeks, you're going to see frustration and anger boiling over because rapes are happening by illegal aliens, illegal migrants that our government, all the politicians are holding up signs saying refugees welcome. Well, they're not living in your houses. They're not raping your daughters. Your women can still walk down the streets in your little bubbles that you live in where your security gates. Ours can't. In working class towns across this country, our women are scared. They shouldn't be scared. They can't walk down their own streets. And for too long, we've talked like it's not our country. This is our country. You're guests. You've been invited in as guests and you've overstayed your welcome in many towns and cities now. You are frustrated. You've raped. You've pillaged. You've come here and disrespected our country every single day. And people are fed up. And people are fed up because they'd see no solution. Keir Starmer's just come out. He hasn't addressed all the rapes. He's never come out with an emergency meeting to deal with the stabbings or the attacks on English women. He's come out with an emergency meeting to label every single person who's coming out, the mothers, the families, as far right. And said he's
going
to
use emergency powers. Let's talk about that. Back in 60 seconds. Yeah, in Europe, it's something like 80% of the rape is the foreigners. And it's the same thing in England. People aren't putting up with this crap anymore. Sadiq Khan needs to move his ass out. All of them need to get the hell out.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic, vocal fry, cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The dauntless, the intrepid, the committed Tommy Robinson. I've been interviewing him for 15 years. This is his little town running a tanning salon. He saw the Islamics kidnapping little girls and selling them to sex slavery, even killing them, and began to speak out. And now he is helping lead Britain out of the tyranny. Tommy, you got your film. We talked about releasing it 2 years ago. We didn't. You've now released it. They're trying to put you in prison for it, exposing the cover-up of the rape gangs and the corruption. The film is Silence. People can find it at T. Robinson New Era. And we'll put it up on screen right there. Then you go find the film Silenced and share it. And you're right. We need Musk to pin it. It doesn't need 25 million views. It needs a billion views. This is the UN replacement migration invasion, their own plan. You just got arrested for terrorism, for leading 100,000 people peacefully. The enemy is scared. We salute you. Tell us about the film. We'll play a clip from it.
The film is incredible. I'm not just saying it because it's mine. It's the best piece and the most important piece of investigative journalism I've ever done. When you watch this film, you realize the lengths they go to control the narrative and the lies and deceit they tell and how they will all work together. The unholy alliance of lawyers, solicitors, courts, judges, police, media, they all work together to destroy anyone who gets in their way of the narrative. It doesn't matter what the narrative is. And Alex, if you can please quote tweet it and ask your people to watch it. As I said, if I'm going to go jail to it, if they're going to lock me up, the world needs to see this. You know, like, we all suspect the courts have been weaponized with your billion-pound case, with what happened to Donald Trump. Well, this categorically proves it. It's evidence. This shows the corruption of the judiciary. I haven't gone before a judge. I've been tried.
No, you have all the undercover videos. So right now, the cruel retweeted for me. We're going to say, see Tommy Robinson's viral film Silenced that just got him charged with terrorism. See Tommy Robinson's viral film Silenced that just got him charged with terrorism. We're going to re-put that on Alex Jones right now. Real Alex Jones, put that out, guys. I put most of my tweets out, but I tell them to do stuff for me. You're absolutely right. Continue.
Thank you, man. Alex, I think if Elon Musk shares this film, it may save my life. Yeah, because they're locking me up. Now, locking me up is possible or probable death in the prison system. Maybe that's what they want, yeah? Maybe that's what they want.
And by the way, you tried to go to Canada. They arrested you there. I wish you would just come here. You're a political refugee. You're a political prisoner.
I would love to come to the United States of America, Alex. But I'll probably I'd wait till Trump wins, man. And then I'd be desperate to. I'd love to. Do you know why I'd love to? Because I'm the perfect person to tell the story of what happens, yeah? And America, you need to brace yourself. For the last 4 years, your borders have been open and flooded, not with Mexican, not with Hispanics, yeah? With Eritrean, Somalian, Pakistani, Afghani, Syrian. They are importing Islam in their millions into your country. You haven't seen anything yet, trust me. The cultural problems, the violence, the hostility that's coming, and it comes like that, yeah? You need to prepare yourselves. Because I've always seen when Americans talk about open border immigration, they moan Afghanis or the Afghanis. You've got no idea.
No, it's true. The Mexicans integrate very well into the country, but not the Islamics.
Well, they're not going to. They're never going to. That doesn't mean every Muslim is bad. Of course it doesn't. Let's talk sensibly. It doesn't. But per se, you're mixing oil and water, and the ideology and the teachings of it do not allow them to integrate or assimilate. They come to dominate, to subjugate. That's what they're coming for. They're coming to your country to change your country. They're never going to change. Islam hasn't changed in 1400 years. They expect you to change. And I'll tell you what, Great Britain's changed for them. Many of our cities, if you're American, you're thinking about visiting London to see Great Britain. It's not there anymore. It's not there. And the problem is, it's not there in many towns and cities across our country. They've changed beyond
recognition. Let me tell you what I've noticed. Let me tell you what I've noticed, because I've been to the UK probably 20 times. And I've been going there for, 50 years or 40 years. But the last few times I was there, I would just be videotaping Big Ben or, the Palace or Trafalgar Square. And Muslims will run over and scream at me and say, don't videotape me, even though I'm not. And as soon as they see I'm not cucked, they back off. I get back in their face. But I guess they're so used to intimidating, and I see them intimidating Britons. The people just bow down to them. But you're saying that's coming to an end.
I'd say it's coming to an end right now. I'd say that we've turned the corner. We need to turn. It's a worrying time because the anger, the level of anger right now, as I said, we held our last demonstration just a week ago. But since then, anger's boiling over. I'm just looking at scenes now. There's riots right now as we're sat here now. The English are rioting in Sunderland. The English rioted in Leeds 2 days ago. The English rioted in other cities. So they have pushed people so far. And again, I appeal to these young lads because they're just going to ruin their lives. But the problem is they see no other way. People are that desperate. They're looking at their country. It's disappearing. And whilst it's disappearing, what are our politicians doing? They're bringing more in. People can't afford to turn their heating on. And these migrants are in 4-star hotels. People can't get dentist appointments. They're having to pull their own teeth out. These migrants go straight to the front of the queue. They've got everything. They've got apps. They put nothing in. Nothing into the system. Take everything out. We're literally being...
Well, that's what's pissing black folks off, that they see the illegal aliens coming, taking their jobs, getting everything free.
And getting everything. But there is a mass... I call it the mass... There is a mass awakening. I know it by my direct messages, because every single message is an apology. Tommy, I hated you. Tommy, I believe the media. Tommy, I can't believe that I'm now on your side. Tommy, and Alex, you must have seen the same. People like us were seen as lepers. They made us lepers.
No, I agree. The globalists are in trouble, because I never talk about I don't tell the story to people about me. It's true. When Trump got elected, I got a 20% hate, 80% love. I get yelled at once a month now. I get love, dinner bought everywhere, nothing but love. Black people, brown people, everybody. People are really awake. So talk about the film. Let's play a clip here. We got a short clip from your film, Silenced. Here it is.
The documentary you're about to watch is the most important documentary I've ever made. This story is far bigger than Tommy Robinson. This is about the weaponization and the politicization of these buildings. Court buildings across the West. The Royal Courts of Justice, ironically named. These buildings have been weaponized and used against members of the public to destroy them if they speak out. From Donald Trump to Steve Bannon to Geert Wilders to Marie Le Pen to Katie Hopkins. That's what's happening. My job as a journalist, I stand for freedom of speech, I stand for freedom of the press. And I failed. Because 3 years ago, when I lost a court case in here, and they bankrupt me to the tune of £1.6 million, on a documentary, you're going to see the entire story was a lie. Okay? I failed because I should have come out of court and I should have played you that film. Why didn't I play you that film? Because I was given a gagging order by this building, by this judge. I was silenced, and I allowed them to silence me because I was scared. I was scared of 2 years in prison. I was scared of the effect that solitary confinement for that length of time would have on me. I was scared of jihadi gangs in jail, and I was scared of the effect it would have on my family. I failed me and I failed you. I'm not going to fail myself again. You're now going to watch the best citizen journalism and the most incredible expose of the establishment you've ever seen. The news is how we find out what's happening in the world. It's how we form our opinions. Opinions based on facts. That's the key. Facts. Facts should be delivered to you by journalists based on the truth. But what if what they're delivering you isn't the truth? What if it's stories that are manipulated to make you think a certain way, to follow a certain narrative, different people's agendas? And what do they do to those who go against that mainstream narrative, those who try to expose the truth? This is a documentary about the lengths they will go to shut down and silence anyone from bringing you, the British public, the truth.
I lost my job over this.
He stuck over his head and hit me in the spine with it.
Well, it's all better, wouldn't it?
this kid was out unconscious already. That's just malicious.
I'm not standing, you're not going, but no, because no, because what you're doing, I know what you're doing.
Tommy, I am gonna mince your kids, mate.
This is a documentary about the unholy alliance between the media, the justice system, and our politicians. How they conspire to suppress free speech, how they pervert democracy, and how the truth and your freedoms are just two of the casualties. We will show how the mainstream media deceives people, how they ignore the truth, how the lies of the virtue signalling BBC, ITV and Channel 4 are all about their poisonous agenda, no matter the cost to innocent people. It's also a documentary about how an everyday playground incident between two young lads was spun into global news at a terrible cost to so many people, not least the two young lads themselves. We will show how the law is being abused, how people driven by hateful ideologies attempt to intimidate and silence anyone who dares to challenge the so-called progressive, so-called liberal narrative. We will show the foolishness of our
fear-driven. All right, let's stop right there. I've seen the film. Everybody should watch it. I posted it, Real Alex Jones. Tommy, it's been a year since you've been on. You got to get on next week. We'll do it again. Before I would tell you, stay out of the UK for more than 2 weeks. Take time with your family. Please don't go right back. Let this build, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure what the judge has said is that I have till October. That's what the judge has said. But between now and October, I'm going to pour petrol on the fire, sat here. Okay, I've got a lot of podcasts, a lot of interviews set up. I've got Jordan Peterson part two. I've got Richard. I've got some big ones lined up, Alex. So I'll talk as much as we can, bro. I need the world to see this film. I need to know that when I go back and face, I'm not going to run from this. Well, I'm going to go to court because, as I said, Alex, I'm putting them on trial. They're the ones on trial here. As long as the world's, the leading citizen journalists of the world are in my court case, as long as they're reporting on it, then we win. Okay, no matter what, I'm in win-win situation. Send me to jail, I win. I win because you've destroyed your credibility. The public now know that your court cases are fraudulent. The public now do not trust when you bring someone to court and you bankrupt them, whether it be for £1 billion or £1.6 million. They also done the same to Katie Hopkins. They took her house. That's what this was about. They're not just happy with censoring you. They have to destroy you. I tried saying this to Andrew Tate. They're coming for your money, bruv. They're going to leave you with nothing. That's what this is about. Criminal enterprise. The criminal enterprise bit is so they can bring in the proceeds of crime. That's what it is. They don't want you prosecuted for allegations of women. They want you to be a criminal enterprise because that opens the door so they can seize every penny you've got. That's what this is about. It's what they've done to me. They bankrupted me for £1.6 million. The whole story, Alex, was a lie. It wasn't just a lie.
No, I know. I've been through it. And that's the thing is they think we'll give up because they take money. The money is just a way to fund things. We don't care. As long as the public backs us, we're going to win. Tommy Robinson, everybody needs to follow you on X right now. They need to see the film Silenced, and that is T. Robinson, New Era, and it's up on screen. God bless you, brother. Things are moving so quick. Join us again in the next few weeks, okay?
All right, thank you, man. Thank you. Cheers, Ralph. Keep up the good work. See you later.
I'm trying, brother. Thank you. All right, Jay Dyer is about to take over, and I've done an hour without plugging, and it's real simple. I need money to fight the enemy. You see, I'm trying to take it away. I have great products you need. So make the decision. Go to InfoWarsStore.com with a big sale going on right now. Go to DrJonesNaturals.com with all the great products they've got there, the Nano Silver products and the Next Level Foundational Energy and the Rocket Rest and the Kava Chill and all of it. Make the decision. Hey, I'm going to back people that are fighting hard. I'm going to be part of history. You may think buying something and getting a great product in the mail is not a big deal. It's huge. That decision changes the world. That's why they hate you. That's why they hate me. That's why they lied and said $400 million. Now they admit I never had any money. The New York Times says, well, it turns out Jones didn't have any money. It's all lies, folks, to make you think that I was just floating around and, you know, I don't give a crap about money. It's a symbol of energy I need to operate, but I care about the moral issues we're engaged in. So I'm asking you now to make the decision. That's up to you. It's up to you to make that decision to go to drjonesnaturals.com, to go to InfoWarsStore.com, and to get the products and to sign up for AutoShop at InfoWarsStore.com because I need your support. Plus, these are amazing products. Take action now. Get the InfoWars shirt that's now shipping out with Trump iconic fight, fight, fight with Bulletproof. And we have the other great sponsors as well. But this is history happening now with how many days? Put it on screen for the election. 90-something? They got 79 days after that to the inauguration. I mean, we are in the zone right now. History is happening. Can we put how many days of the election up on screen? How many days of the election? And then everybody's looking at that, 94 days, 9 hours, 39 minutes, 58 seconds. What about the 79 days after that? Get geared up, get ready, commit, because if you don't support by word of mouth and prayer now, well, you'll never support once things get nasty. So thanks to the crew. Thanks, everybody. Jay Dyer, for the next 40 minutes, takes over. Best-selling author with Jay's Analysis. I want to thank you all for joining us. I want a great interview with Tommy Robinson. What an incredible real person. The best part of my job is I get to know the real people. I get to know the authentic, not the fake. Kamala Harris is the fake. Joe Biden's the fake. Barack Obama's the fake. Herbert Walker Bush, W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, they're the fake. They get to live in the world of fake. I get to live in the world of real, and that is such a blessing. Jay Dyer takes over.
Thank you, Alex. Glad to be here on the fourth hour. Always an honor. I want to talk about the Olympics symbolism and what nobody talked about. I saw very few people who delved into what the references were really going back to. If you watch the full Olympic sequence, it was pretty revealing. It goes back actually to the French Revolution. There was a lot of symbolism that was directly referring to the Bavarian Illuminati, the Marxist Socialists, and the idea of a new faith that would be given to the world. And that's going to culminate in that Last Supper image that we saw and we've all been subjected to. Obviously, a very blasphemous image, but there's a reason for this, and almost nobody picked up on it. They saw that it was obviously intended to be an inversion of Christianity and offensive and all that. But if you go into the history of the French Revolution and the people that funded it, it actually begins to make a lot more sense. And I'm going to refer again to the book that you've heard me look refer to many times in the fourth hour, which is James Billington's book, Fire in the Minds of Men. He was the famous historian at the Library of Congress. So he's not a conspiracy theorist. In fact, he's very much a fan of the Marxist socialist revolutions and all revolutionary philosophy. And he calls it, fascinatingly, a faith. He says this is a new faith that was intended to be passed on to the world, kind of like a gospel. It's an evangelical message that would be exported to the whole world, he says, at the beginning of the book. And so he's going to chart the history of the revolution. And of course, we know that at the time of the French Revolution, there were many occult organizations and secret societies that operated in the background that were behind the French Revolution. Now, you might think that's a conspiracy theory, but it's actually not, because mainline historians talk about this very openly. I had undergrad and grad classes that dealt with the history of the French Revolution. My professor, who was my history advisor, he was an expert in the French Revolution, and he talked about this candidly in many classes and made us read an outrageous amount of books on the French Revolution. I don't even care that much about the French Revolution, but I had to read more about it than I ever thought I would. And I guess now looking back, I'm happy that I did, because I know quite a bit about it. But the first character that we want to talk about is the apostle of the revolutionary religion. And his name is Buonarroti. And he was believed to be, I think, a descendant of a noble Florentine family that descended from Michelangelo. So he had a famous lineage, but at some point he got interested in the proto-Masonic philosophy, or the Masonic philosophy of the 1700s, and decided that rather than believing in some kind of personal god, he believed instead in a grand architect of the universe. And of course, an architect is different from a creator. An architect works with pre-existing matter. In the biblical story, God creates ex nihilo, but an architect working with pre-existing matter is more so the idea of Greek philosophy. This would be what Aristotle, Plato, and the Neoplatonists taught, that reality is really just an emanation from the monad, and God is more so this immaterial force or principle, like a law of gravity or something. And so this is why many times the Masonic philosophy in this time led to atheism or to deism. And there was other strands of thought that were also influencing these characters. When Byzantium fell, a lot of people don't know this, but the Byzantine atheist Platonist philosopher named Pleithon, his philosophy actually influenced both Spinoza, the famous Jewish philosopher and pantheist, as well as the Jacobin philosophers of the French Revolution. So the idea here is that because all men are supposedly equal, of course, we know that obviously all things are not equal. Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and some people are born with gifts and talents and biology that other people are not. So there's no equality in some ultimate sense, even by nature itself. But the philosophy of the revolutionaries was that the source of man's problems is really in the condition of the world itself. We're not all equal. So the revolution must be a war waged on inequality. And so they came up with the idea of not just overturning the aristocracy or the nobility or the blue bloods, but also overturning the church as well. So church and state have to be destroyed to bring in an ideal rationalist utopia. Again, it goes back to Plato. Plato's referenced all throughout the book. I've talked about this many times, that Plato was the proto-communist. I understand that Plato's Republic is not totally communism, but the guardian class, which is the middle tier of the three tier of the pyramid class structure of Plato's Republic, they do share all things in common. So it's a proto-communism, and all communist, socialist, Marxist, and even monopoly capitalists have referred back to Plato's Republic as their model. Billington himself in his book references how the early Illuminists were drawing not just from the radical philosophy of Plato, but also from the radical philosophy of the Manichaeans in their dualism and their dialectics, as well as the idea of Pythagoras, because Pythagoras taught that there should be a common property held by all and that all should be equal. And I believe that the Pythagoreans were some of the first in the ancient world to admit women to their secret society and to their secret religion, which previous societies and philosophers had not done. So the purpose there, again, you can see, is the idea that there is this unfairness about reality. And how do we overcome and combat the unfairness? Well, we're going to enforce fairness. This is the beginnings of that ideology. The Manichaeans had a high, just like Zoroastrians, had a high view of the principle of fire. Some believe that, for example, Zoroastrians might have worshipped fire. They had a dualistic religion. They might have worshipped it as the good principle of God incarnate. But the Illuminists, who took from Zoroastrianism and Manichaeanism, they believe that this was, in fact, just a symbol of perpetual chaos and change. So they were fans of ancient philosophers like Heraclitus, who believed that all is flux. And since fire was always moving and always hot and always changing, it was a perfect image for the revolution. The revolution would be, again, against church and state to create an entirely new society. So all forms of sort of utopianism emerge from this period. But in order to have this utopianism, they would have to enforce liberty, equality, and fraternity. And we're going to see when we look at the Olympic symbolism is that they added a new slogan to the famous Masonic French Revolutionary phrase, not just liberty, equality, fraternity, but diversity. Did you notice that it went liberty, equality, fraternity, and then they added diversity with the bearded lady showing up at the Last Supper? And it was the Last Supper because the woman who was involved in portraying herself as the Christ put on her own Instagram that it was a parody of the Last Supper. We're going to talk about this inner group, this inner society, and how it functions as an inner elite that runs Marxism, socialism, and corporatism. We'll talk about that when we get back on to the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer.
There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there, and the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts. Our immune systems, our vitality, it's so important, but not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. for yourself and your family. I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to optimalhuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar.
A lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others who come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. We get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at holdtheline.com. Holdtheline.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says fight for freedom with other inscriptions. On the reverse side, it's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at holdtheline.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the InfoWar. Go to holdtheline.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, we need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to holdtheline.com right now and get the coin, holdtheline.com. You want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. Holdtheline.com.
Gonna take everything you got. They're gonna take your children's soul. Are you gonna keep bowing down to these people? You gonna let this scum rule over you? It's time to break their will. It's time to say, I don't care what the hell you do to me, and I don't know how this is gonna end, but if you wanna fight, you better believe you've got one.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. We're talking about the history of revolutionary philosophy that led up to the bizarre Dionysian inverted blasphemous ceremony at the high-profile ritual at the opening of the Olympics in France. And just like when they had the opening ceremonies at London in the 2012 Olympics, they did this history of the host nation and what led up to this point where they did it. And the same thing is going on with France, where they did this history of the nation and how they got to where they are, leading the charge, of course, 1789, 1776. These are two strands of revolution. The 1776 American branch of the revolution came from what's called the Girondins, and they were the right-wing revolutionaries. This is people like Lafayette and others that influenced the founding fathers of America, who didn't want to go as far as the Jacobins. They believed in private property. They believed in other elements, which not all of which are bad. They believe, for example, in limiting the central bank power, not allowing a private central bank to have the issuance of the currency and all that. They were very opposed to this model of a fiat-based printing system that we eventually got in 1913. But I wanted to note that this isn't really controversial, because I found a bunch of my old French Revolution textbooks that we used in that undergrad and grad study that we did, And I wanted to note, for example, in R.R. Palmer's, this is a very well-known history of the French Revolution. It's not a conspiracy text. It has a whole section on how the French Revolution was masterminded by elements of the Illuminati. And that other famous figures of the French Revolution were also part of these secret societies. Another famous book on the French Revolution is Owen Connolly's book, French Revolution, Napoleonic Era. And it includes multiple chapters about the Freemasons, the Illuminati, the Jacobins, and their Masonic Declaration of Human Rights, which they produced in the French Revolution. So, and there's many, many more. I mean, I can go into the Oxford history of the French Revolution, and the Oxford history also notes the influence of the Freemasons and the Jacobins and the Nine Sisters Lodge, on and on and on. And there's more. I can keep going, but the point is that this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is actually just basic history. People don't know this. And then when you talk about it, they think that you're, you know, some sort of crackpot or something. But people are just out to lunch. They don't know anything. People have been really dumbed down. It's kind of sad. But if you study the ancient philosophers and the societies and the secret groups that they created and set up, like the inner group of the Pythagoreans, for example. Pythagoreans had a secret society that was set up where they worshiped numbers and the temple of equality, they called it. They came up with this idea of the temple of equality and that reason, math, and geometry could rule all things. And so Pythagoras is actually the first real principled illuminist. You could say Plato or even ancient religions, perhaps. But they didn't really favor this communist idea. And Pythagoras more so even than Plato. Pythagoras, in fact, was a radical communist, and he influenced people like revolutionaries like Bonneville. Thomas Paine was actually influenced by Pythagoreanism and Masonic philosophy, such that Thomas Paine believed that the Druids and the Pythagoreans had created a secret occult alternative to Christianity that one could join. So this is the mythology of the secret societies, that they've had this ancient lineage, and if you join this ancient lineage, you're getting the real true secret religion or the real true secret mysteries. And the secret is what? We will decapitate the double-headed eagle and take it over. This is the later Masonic philosophers talking about the double-headed eagle. And in the time of Christianity, the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, et cetera, the double-headed eagle ends up symbolizing church and state, the two heads, church and state, working in harmony. It wasn't originally a Masonic symbol. It gets co-opted by Freemasonry to be a Masonic symbol in the 1700s with the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. They took the doctrine of the Trinity, many of these Freemasonic revolutionaries in the 1790s, and they turned it into a principle of math and triangulation in the world. So they took the Trinity, the doctrine of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, said, oh, that's just math, and that's just the mathematical principles of geometry operating in the world. The state then should ultimately be a mathematics-based state. This is the teaching of the Philadelphians, and I think we talked about that in one of the lectures the other day from the Cambridge Companion, because the Philadelphians were influenced by Jacob Boehm and other process philosophy people who influenced Hegel and Marxists and others. So the idea really is that all revolutionary philosophy is culminating in some kind of new man, some kind of new world, new church. And Billington, again, as a historian of revolutionary thought, calls it the new church. He says, you can compare the rise of socialism, Marxism, to a new church. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because a lot of people will say that this is all a battle of communists versus true capitalists. No, the monopoly capitalists have always funded the Marxist socialists. That's always been the case. In fact, Quigley says in his chapter on France that the French Revolution was funded by Protestant banking interests and other banking interests throughout the European banking houses. You can guess what I mean. That's what Quigley says. So what did they teach? They taught dialectical materialism. This influenced Marx. And this is, for Marx, was derived from Saint-Simon, the French socialist, Feuerbach, and Hegel. And then Marx took that and turned it into his philosophy, which then influences a giant portion of the world. And what does Marxism say in its 10 planks? Well, it's anti-religion, obviously. But it also says that you need a central bank that controls the issuance of currency. And that central bank, of course, ends up being a private central bank. Perhaps Marx didn't want a private bank. Maybe he thought it should be something that is an international entity. I don't know. But we all know that, again, Marxism was propped up by capital. Marx couldn't have done anything without the monetary support of Engels operating in the background to give him the funding that he had. What is the goal of all of this ultimately? Well, many of the later socialists after the 1700s got more radical and said it's time to recognize the equalitarian principles, not just in economics or in social order, but in gender. And so you got a bunch of Marxists in the socialists in the 1800s, in the 1900s, who thought that they could create a new utopia only through the rise of feminism. So there's a direct connection between the rise of Marxism, socialism, and feminism. It immediately follows the rise of Marxism. The famous French revolutionary thinker, she might have been French, I'm not sure, but yeah, she was. Mary Wollstonecraft, she wrote the first feminist treatise at the time of the revolution. And then she becomes a image and a symbol for female revolution and women's liberation. After her, a bunch of people followed who also followed Saint Simone and believed in the abolition of marriage, fully open polycule relationships, and some of them even believed in a coming female messiah, one of whom was named Flora Tristan, the coming female messiah who believed that she was the female principle of the Trinity. A bunch of other female messiahs who all had weird delusions also followed after her. People don't tell you that this is the real origin of feminism. Feminism comes from these like lunatic people who thought that they were female versions of Jesus. And this is not accidental that in the French Revolutionary homage that the Olympics did, they had a fat, I think she's Jewish, lesbian play the role of Christ. That's all intentional inversion, but it's actually the history of the French Revolutionary and socialist revolutionary women. Another one was Fanny Wright, and she was interesting because she was the first androgynous non-binary woman in the modern world. Fanny Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. She believed in social justice. She believed in equalizing everything for the oppressed, and that there should never be any other people group, nation, state, ethnicity, or race. Everything should become one giant blended thing. And she was the first non-binary pusher of modern times, Fanny Wright. She was also a socialist utopian. She believed that she was another savior next to the previous saviors who had come, like Christ. So you understand, this is the mainline history of the French Revolution. Billington has a whole chapter on the role of women in feminism. This is why when you get to the Bolshevik Revolution, Alexander Kollontai becomes one of the most important Bolshevik leaders. She abolishes all marriage, all laws about inheritance and children, and advocates for totally open polyamorous relationships in the early era of the Bolshevik Revolution. This almost destroyed Russia. It was so bad that Stalin realized, and I'm not saying Stalin's a good guy, but it was so destructive. We had an entire generation of illegitimate kids being raised and turning into crime that Stalin had to basically ultimately change the party line to get rid of these Bolshevik principles that were destroying the country. But what people don't understand is that there is an intentional subversion and destruction, and that's what's done to these countries in these revolutions, and it's what's happening to our country right now. In fact, many Orthodox saints who lived through the Bolshevik Revolution and were put to death said that this would come to America. So they actually predicted that the Bolshevik Revolution would not end. It would eventually move on to the West, and it would take place in the United States. And they were pushing all the same radical gender things that you see now. So this demonic spirit doesn't go away. It just reappears, pushes the same stuff. It eventually collapses and goes away, and then it's allowed into some other place. And it's allowed because the people lose their discernment and their connection to God. They fall into all the same traps and tricks that the other previous nations fell into. It's not just monetary. I mean, the central bank stuff is important, but they also fall prey to giving up their connection to God and their religious worship and principle. They give away that heritage, that lineage, and then they're left with other things that don't give man meaning and purpose. And then man becomes a tool to the corporate and money, power. So I want to go to the Olympics. So if we look at the opening ceremony of the Olympics, what we saw is actually the history of France. And it begins with, as we said, this comedian who's a famous French comedian. I didn't know who this was, but he takes the torch of liberty. This is the liberty torch that you see the Statue of Liberty carrying. It's Columbia, the goddess. And he runs the torch to an empty stadium, and he makes a big mistake, and it's supposed to be funny because he went to the wrong place. So there's not going to be time to get it to the ceremony. So they hand the torch over to a kid. He looks like he's a Muslim kid with two French girlfriends, two young French girlfriends. And he runs and takes the torch because he's the future of France, and gives it to Charon. Charon is the character from Greek mythology who takes you across the river Styx. So they literally go into the catacombs. There's this faceless Charon creature down there. He takes the torch. The kids taking the torch to the ceremonies which are occurring there on the river. And this is what's called in literature a catabasis. So there's this weird descent into the underworld with the flame of liberty. It then comes out later on with the performance of Lady Gaga doing some kind of weird cabaret thing. I don't know what the point of that was. But then it turns into a history of France up to the French Revolution. And they basically skip everything in history all the way up until the point where Marie Antoinette is beheaded. She starts singing as a beheaded, bloody member of the royalty. And a bunch of blood pops out of the windows of a palace there on the river. And this is supposed to be celebrating and signifying, yeah, there it is, celebrating and signifying the French Revolution, which is, again, done at the behest of these bloodthirsty Jacobins. And the Committee for Public Safety actually, they actually killed, it's reported to be 20,000 people they beheaded, particularly amongst the nobility because they were bourgeoisie. And then, of course, what always happens is that the revolutionaries turn on each other and they start beheading each other because they're not revolutionary enough. So this, because what happens is in these weird obsessions with equality, just like you see nowadays with cancel culture, they all turn on each other because, oh, wait a minute, you're actually higher on the oppression totem pole than we are. There was actually journalists in the French Revolution who would get each other killed because they would say, hey, wait a minute, you know, Babouf over there or whoever, that journalist, he's fat. He couldn't be fat unless he had a lot of food and he was part of the bourgeoisie. And then the bloodthirsty Antifa crowd would go and kill that guy. And they would literally open up the Bastille, right, the prison or whatever it was, and let all of the equivalent of Antifa, they would let the criminals out to just go and be the revolutionaries. So literally the same game plan of the French Revolution is what they do in all of these countries, same thing that they did in Russia early 1900s, 1917. And then we get the gay and trans dancings that occur during the sections when they're promoting liberty, equality, fraternity. We get three gay dudes dancing together. So finally they can have a gay polycule because of liberty. That's what liberty means. It's just whatever you want to put in your butt is the essence of liberty. Then we get this weird divergence over where Charon, who's carrying the torch, runs through a movie screen. So he steps into the domain of cinema. And I guess this is supposed to, you know, be an homage to the elements of French cinema and how important France is to the history of movies and cinema. But the weird part about that is that it's really just, there's the blood popping. That's celebrating the blood of the French Revolution, beheading all of the upper class and anyone who was deemed to be part of the upper class, right? So this is like another celebration of like Maoism, right? Basically, same idea, right? Anybody who, oh, you studied at the university, well, you're part of the bourgeoisie because you couldn't do that unless you had money, right? But all of this push for equality is really just a demonic capitulation to envy, because it's a bunch of criminals who, even if the upper class is corrupt, which I'm sure the upper class is usually corrupt, sure, but that doesn't mean that the criminals who want to kill them are the good guys. But everybody thinks in dialectics, and so they assume that, oh, well, then the revolutionaries must be the good guys and the upper class must be the bad guys. But that's really, none of this is is at all like Christian theism or Christian morality, because we don't think that being a part of a class necessarily makes you good or evil. There is a structure and an order to the world, and there's nothing inherently wrong with structure and order. And a lot of times when we get the bloody revolutions, it's worse than what you had before, because the communists, the socialists, the Marxists, the revolutionaries, who are funded by the banking elite and the monopoly capitalists, by the way, they're not actually anti-capitalist. If you read the Rakovsky interrogation, he makes that point as a committed high-level Trotskyite. He says that we're not against capitalism. Capitalism is part of the dialectic. It's necessary. It funds the revolution. You get these, you get the return then after the cinema sequence to French rappers. Of course, yes, we all know about, when we think of France, you think of rappers, of course. Then we get a story about Jean Barret, this woman who disguised herself as a man. This is sort of a quasi trans reference, to be the first woman to sail across the oceans. Okay, so, but the only reason they chose her is because it's a feminist and trans icon. And then we get the Last Supper, as we mentioned, which is actually Leonardo da Vinci's painting, but then it's a catwalk. And if you watch the full sequence, what they're sitting there at the Last Supper doing, she's, I guess she's a DJ at the Last Supper. And they also have a kid there, which suggests pedo stuff, right? So it's not just transvestites and weirdos. It's also suggesting pedo stuff. Then it turns into a catwalk with a bearded lady. And that is, again, Baphomet imagery. So they've inverted the Last Supper and, you know, Christ instituting the Eucharist, and they turned it into a bearded Baphomet imagery where a bearded woman pop star dances. I don't even know, is that a man or woman? I don't know what it is. But that was intentionally inversion to signify that the religion of the future is this kind of goddess party worship, this hedonism, this indulgence. There's the catwalk, you see, where they're having the Lord's Supper and it turns into a DJ party. And then you get all these gay guys. And so this is the religion of the future, is what you see in something like Brave New World. If you remember in Brave New World, Huxley said that there will be a religion of the future in the technocratic era, but it will be one based around drugs like ecstasy, like drugs and dance parties. So he actually says that in the story. Then they bring the kid, the child up, start doing these dances again. None of this is she dressed like Elvis? I can't, that's okay. Did Elvis go to France? Like, I don't know what does France have to do with Elvis? I don't know. But essentially this is all no religion, because the girl that you saw on the raft singing, I think that was her, she was singing the John Lennon song, I forget the exact how all the words go, but actually if you read the words to that song, it actually sounds like a satire. He's actually satirizing communism. This is just a theory I have, because I heard the song recently and I was listening to the words, which I've always assumed were like a Marxist atheist song. But if you listen to it, he actually sounds like he's critiquing and pointing out how absurd Marxism is. And that actually makes sense if you know more about John Lennon, because he was beginning towards the end of his life to speak out more and more against Marxism, socialism, and eugenics and depopulation. If you recall, he's on that one talk show, that British talk show, and the talk show host says, you know, what's really going on? What's your views? He says, you know, man, they're going to kill us all. They want to kill the whole world. It's a depopulation, mate. He actually says that it's a eugenics plan to depopulate the world. So it seems like he might have been catching on to what was really going on. And maybe he wasn't arguing for some sort of an atheistic perspective. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But then, oddly enough, it shifts to Joan of Arc. And I could understand why. That's the woman on that metal horse that you saw riding across the water. A lot of people thought this was the Book of the Apocalypse, the pale horse, the rider that's death. It could be both. Because if Joan of Arc is supposed to be a symbol of feminism, which is what I think they were using her for, and then they turned her into a robotic image of Joan of Arc, it's sort of like a feminist icon that's bringing a technocratic era. It's just very, very bizarre. I don't know why you would make Joan of Arc into a robot and give her a robot horse, but that's essentially what the meaning of that woman riding the horse was. But it also could be a double sense. There could be a double sense to the symbolism. Yeah, there it is. That's supposed to be Joan of Arc, which is kind of ridiculous. But the only reason they put her in there was because, oh, well, you see, you could read her as an image of feminism. And again, feminism, modern feminism originates in France, the French Revolution. And that's what gives rise to the fourth thing that they added to liberty, equality, fraternity, and that's diversity. So liberty, equality, fraternity, and now diversity. So the Masonic dictum has now turned into the New World Order occult dictum of trans and non-binary, and that Baphomet imagery is absolutely 100% intentional and satanic. It should be obvious. And all the people who are walking it back, who were involved in this, were literally putting on their social media before this that, no, it's intentionally supposed to be a lampooning of the Lord's Supper. Well, they're telling you what the new religion is. Just think about the Gotthard Tunnel ceremony, what, about 10 years ago? If you watch that ceremony, it was the same thing. It had all these EU politicians there for this giant tunnel that they'd built underneath this mountain, I think for a railway. And the Gotthard Tunnel blew everybody away because it's like, well, what is this building a tunnel have to do with a giant satanic ceremony? And they did this performance art where the workers come out in these orange jumpsuits. They always have the workers. Yeah, here it is. The workers come out in orange jumpsuits, and then they dig the tunnel, and in front of them is this, yeah, there's the workers, this Baphomet guy who's got he's more like Pan, I should say. He's a goat-headed guy dancing around. There's a giant evil baby cherub, demonic cherub flying around. And by the way, he has BDSM stuff going on too, of course, right? Because that's when you think of workers in the working class, you think of like bondage gear, right? Maybe that's how the elite think of the working class. I don't know. But this whole thing was like a satanic ceremony. And then you had this Pan character dancing around. And then when they go outside towards the end of the ritual, there's a giant all-seeing eye that's projected onto a screen. And they all dance around the goat-headed guy. So that's an intentional, high-profile ritual. They're showing you what the elite actually believe, which is the satanic philosophy. They've once again rolled out in a giant, worldwide, high-profile ritual, the satanic imagery at the Paris Olympics. We've been talking about this going all the way back to the Super Bowl halftime show when they were pushing this stuff 15, 20 years ago. So we've been right. We've been vindicated once again. They did it for you, all in your face. Throw it in your face. I want to remind everybody that you can go get tickets to the Cognitive Liberty Conference in 2 weeks in Nashville. I'll be speaking there with Dr. James Lindsay, Courtney Turner, and others. You can get my books at Jay's Analysis in the shop, signed copies. And also support Alex by going to the InfoWars store and getting those products.
There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there, and the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts. Our immune systems, our vitality, it's so important. But not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market, and we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex, and by just going to that link, no promo code has to be put in, nothing, you get 25% off right off the top by going there. Now, it would take me 20 minutes to tell you everything about this amazing product, but you need to go read about it for yourself. And this is what I call a total 360 win. It's the highest quality, it's a great price, and it supports the InfoWar. OptimalHuman.com/Alex, 25% off right off the top, and it funds the InfoWar and empowers your body, your stamina, your energy, your health. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to OptimalHuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar.
So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric, or whether it's natural sleep aid, or whether it's saw palmetto, with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.